House of the President, Grand Forks, North Dakota, 29 September 1952.
You know, I thought I saw about half the people in North Dakota this morning over at Fargo. It looks like the other half's here. I appreciate it. Wonderful turnout. That's a wonderful welcome. And I know that you are giving me that welcome as President of the United States and not as a politician. But I'm going to talk to you. About some things about which there is no secret. I'm out campaigning for the Democratic victory next November. I want you to understand. You have some wonderful Democrats in this state running for office. For governor, you've got Ole S. Johnson. For Congress, Edward Niesemeyer. For Senator, Harold A. Marson. He's on the train. With his opponent, Mr. Senator Langer. I know North Dakota doesn't elect many Democrats to office, and I must say that some of the Republicans you send down to Washington are a lot better than a lot of Democrats that are down there. However, a good Democrat is even better than a good Republican. Well, this time I wish you'd send some Democrats down to Congress. And don't forget, while you're doing that, to vote in your own interest and vote the national ticket for Adlai Stevenson for president and John Sparkman for vice president. Governor Stevenson has made a great progressive record in Illinois. And in this campaign, he's talking about the real issues and telling you exactly where he stands. He's a real friend of the common everyday man, and he's not a front man for the special interests or for Wall Street. John Sparkman's record is just as good. He's always fought for the plain people in this country. These are men you can trust. They look out for your interests. I'm very much impressed with the way this region is prospering and growing. Considering the terrible conditions in this state just 20 years ago, nobody could have believed you'd be doing so well today. I saw some figures the other day which showed that right here in Grand Forks County, bank deposits were 7 times higher last year than in 1932. Of course, I suppose the few people who had any money in those days were lucky if they didn't have it in a bank. That condition's changed now. The Federal Deposit Insurance Act, passed over the vicious, violent protests of the Republicans, has made bank deposits in all the banks safe. We haven't had a bank failure in goodness knows when. And we haven't had a bank receivership since I've been president. Here's another figure. Nearly 3/4 of the farms in this county are now owned by the farmers who work them, as compared with a little more than half just 20 years ago. And you don't hear about foreclosures and forced sales now either. The farm's not the only place where things have improved around here. Look at this good city. There are 50% more businesses here than there were 20 years ago. And sales are 7 times higher. The people who work in these businesses are far better off. Did you know, for example, that more than 6,000 people in your own county are protected by old age and survivor's insurance? I can't give you a comparison for 20 years ago because there was not any Social Security program that day. The Democrats put it in effect after they came in. And if the old guard Republicans had their way, there wouldn't be any Social Security yet. You can be sure of that. good thing the workers of this county have had the Democratic Party to help them. To help them to get Social Security and union recognition and all the other things we've done these past 20 years. It's a good thing for you railroad workers that you had a Democratic Congress to help you get union security. It's certain the old guard Republicans won't help you get things like that. Quite the contrary. 2 days ago, I wrote a letter to the American Federation of Labor Convention in New York City, and I mentioned that I'd been reading the Wall Street Journal. Some people call it the Ball Street Journal. About Republican plans for labor laws, even worse than the Taft-Hartley law. You should have heard the howl the one-party press put up on that one. They said it wasn't so at all. Well, my friends, I knew exactly what I was talking about. I have right here the copy of the Wall Street Journal for May 26, 1952. Let me read you a headline on the front page. Starts off, New Labor Law. Congress ponders curb on industry-wide pay bargaining by unions. Action's not likely this year because of election, but come 1953, you better look out. And it says in the subheadline, Mr. Taft has some ideas. I expect he has, too. The article goes on to say, if the Republicans held their own or gained new strength in the House or Senate, it is almost certain that there will be a new effort next year to crack down on the unions. And if the GOP controls Congress by a comfortable margin, the effort will probably succeed. Now, that's right here in this main column in the Wall Street Journal, and that's exactly what it said. But the kept press just almost howled their heads off when I said that in the letter to the American Federation of Labor. This one time, I agree with the Wall Street Journal. It's very seldom I ever agree with them. I've been talking about some things that are important to the workers in this country. But farmers shouldn't have any false ideas. What I've been saying doesn't affect them, it will affect them too. Don't think you can stand by while they kick labor around. You're not safe either. The old guard Republicans have got it in for you too. Look at their record in Congress. You know what I mean. You remember how they tried to wreck rural electrification back in the 80th Congress? They voted 4 or 5 to 1 for cutting REA funds. And they did that not just once, but 4 separate times. The only thing that saved REA was an even bigger ratio of Democrats who voted right on that subject. Just this spring, a majority of the Republican congressmen voted against continuing farm price supports at 90% of parity. Now, let me give you a concrete example of what the Republicans want to do to you. Under their plan, if they'd been able to put it through the Congress, you'd been getting a support price loan of $2.13 a bushel at Minneapolis. You know what you're getting now? You're getting $2.46. And that support price law runs through 1953 and 1954. If we'd have gotten the Republican program, it'd have been right back where the farmers in the Corn Belt were in 1946 when they refused to give you storage space. All right, I'm doing it. The other day, Senator Taft said he was against this 90% of parity, too. Their candidate for president has claimed that he was for 90% of supports for parity. At least, he says, for the next 2 years. But it doesn't seem to know about the rest of the party. People who really run the National Republican Party can hardly wait to start using that sliding scale they love so much for price supports. They'll use it if you give them the chance, and they'll slide you right down to ruin. It all adds up to the same thing. The old guard Republican Party is against the interests of the plain everyday people of this country, workers, farmers, small business, and everybody else. Their only interest, the only interests that they care about are the special interests in the big business in Wall Street, the big banks and the big lobby. These are the fellows they're out to serve, not you. They don't care anything about you. Now, don't let them fool you with a lot of campaign promises. They'll tell you they're for what you think you want now. But when it comes to the voting record in the Congress, you'll find out exactly what they do to you when they have the opportunity. Ask them to explain their terrible record of voting against the people. Ask them to explain why they vote against everything we've done to make this country strong enough to stave off World War III and safeguard peace. Ask that military man the Republicans are trying to make president of the United States. Ask the general to explain his party's record and watch him squirm. He won't be able to explain the Republican Party's record. But I'll tell you, my friends, you better look it up. It's something to write home about. I'm going to have a broadcast in this state pretty soon that'll tell you just exactly what the record of that the Republicans in Congress has been for the past 30 years. And it hasn't been in the interest of the farmer and the working man and the common everyday little businessman. That'll show you exactly what's at stake for you in this election, you individually. That'll show you where your interests lie. If you want this country to have a chance for peace and for prosperity, there's only one thing you can do. It'll save the country and save you. That's vote for Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman. If you really have your own interests at heart, you'll go to the polls on November the 4th, and you'll vote for yourselves. And when you vote for yourselves, you'll vote for the people's control of the government, and you'll vote the Democratic ticket, and the country will be safe for another 4 years.